ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 25 टेक्स्ट 16 सभा चत्वर रथ्याभिर आक्रीरायतनापणैः चैत्यध्वजपताकाभिर् युक्तां विद्रुमवेदिभिः। Translation: In that city there were many assembly houses, street crossings, streets, restaurants, gambling houses, markets, resting places, flags, festoons, and beautiful parks. All these surrounded the city. Purport: In this way the capital is described. In the capital there are assembly houses and many squares, many street crossings, avenues and streets, many gambling places, markets and places of rest, all decorated with flags and festoons. The squares are surrounded with railings and are devoid of trees. The heart of the body can be compared to the assembly house, for the living entity is within the heart along with the Paramatma, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. The heart is the center of all remembrance, forgetfulness and deliberation. In the body, the eyes, ears and nose are different places of attraction for sense enjoyment, and the streets for going hither and thither may be compared to different types of air blowing within the body. The yogic process for controlling the air within the body and the different nerves is called sushumna, the path of liberation. The body is also a resting place because when the living entity becomes fatigued, he takes rest within the body. The palms and the soles of the feet are compared to flags and festoons. This verse is continuing the narration by Srila Narada Muni to Maharaj Pachinabarhishat of the allegorical story of Puranjan. In this verse, the body of the embodied soul is compared, or the parts of the body are compared to various parts of the city, features of the city, the body being allegorically described as a city. Navadware Pure Dehi. The body is considered to be a city of nine gates. So this allegory is extended further, how the different parts of the body are meant for different kinds of enjoyment. And simultaneously we can understand from the description in this verse how the embodied soul who has attained a human body likes to go to various places for sensual enjoyment. Here in this verse we get an idea of what kind of city would be pleasing to a materialist who, by definition a materialist, is someone who is concerned with matter and generally is concerned with material enjoyment. Actually, materialist means concerned with material enjoyment, but there are, within the broad class of materialists, there are also some who are not hedonistic, but may be attempting to enjoy this material world in another way than gross sense enjoyment. When the materialism becomes mixed with an intellectual spirit, then someone may be a complete materialist without being a gross hedonist. A prime example of this, we're not supposed to say names, but anyway, I'll say, are we not? Debatable. Anyway, Stephen Hawking is a materialist. He's a famous scientist of cooking up the latest theories, which will all be out of date soon. But he's not in a position to be a hedonist because material nature has dished him out an exceptional intellect and an exceptionally dysfunctional kind of body also. But generally, when we say materialist, we refer to... Yeah, so he's a materialist. He's describing material nature according to his... the variety of illusion that he has imbibed and developed. But most materialists are simply interested in sensual enjoyment. Sensual enjoyment is most prominent among young people. This is the story of Puranjan, which means an old person. Old people are not fit for material enjoyment. They're fit for materials bodily, they're fit for material suffering. The material energy works very expertly, cruelly we may say. It seems almost cruel that she offers, first of all, material enjoyment with a young body, now you enjoy, and as a result of that enjoyment, as the body gets old, then that enjoyment, the same body that was fit for enjoyment, becomes fit for suffering. Old age is itself suffering, what to speak of all the diseases that come with it. Of course, it's not that only in old age there is suffering, but generally the material energy arranges that in youth one can have an experience of the suffering that is called material enjoyment and be in the illusion of greatly enjoying. Whereas in old age, one, the body is simply made to suffer, and one can only imagine the enjoyment he would like to have, or he can only reminisce about the enjoyment, the sensual enjoyment that he has had. It's not that sometimes devotees think, well, I get older, then automatically my material desires will decrease. Well, it's not a fact. It's not that simply by the inability, the decreased ability to enjoy this world, that one's desires to enjoy it decrease. The desires stay the same, unless one is cultivating spiritual knowledge, understanding that intrinsically everyone is an old person. That sounds uninspiring, doesn't it? Everyone is old. Everyone is old. Oh, old means worn out. In the material world, yes, but Puranjan means, old means eternal. Puranjan is a name for every living being, including Krishna, who's also a living being. He's in a different category, but he's also a living being. He's not an imaginary being. So he's also old. Krishna is old and he's young. Stephen Hawking can't understand that. And nor can any person of materialistic mentality understand how Krishna is Purana Purusham, and the oldest person, and also Navayovanam. He's also always fresh youth, fit for enjoyment. Krishna is always fit for enjoyment. He doesn't become depleted in sensual strength by doing so. Whereas everyone in this material world, as much as we enjoy, that much we expend our sensual capacity. We have to suffer as much as we enjoy. And if we utilize the organs of the body for sensual enjoyment, that means that our ability to enjoy them decreases, or the ability to use them at all decreases. And therefore those who enjoy, so-called enjoy, more in youth, they have to suffer more in old age. Therefore, even among the materialists, brahmacharya is recommended. Refraining from sensual enjoyment. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in one article, he criticized this kind of brahmacharya. That people who know that expending one's organs in enjoyment will cause suffering, they therefore live a moderate life so that they can go on throughout their life enjoying moderately. He criticized this as being a materialistic mentality. The materialistic mentality of let me enjoy this world in a more intelligent way than the gross hedonists. But it's also a completely a materialistic outlook. So this story of King Puranjan is meant to waken Prachina Barhishat and any others who will listen in future. It is so kindly collected, featured in Srimad Bhagavatam by Vyasadev, so that all other Puranjanas, all other old people who have been suffering in this material world, anadi karma phale, pari bhavarnava jale, taribari, nadeki upai, all of those who have been suffering in this material world as a result of their activities in this world, who have fallen in the ocean of material suffering and who cannot find a way out, they can understand how to get out of this material world by worshipping that young person, instead of trying to enjoy as a young person. They should worship the eternally young person, who is Krishna. Puranjan is an old person, is not very fit for sensual enjoyment. So we say, Puranjana, that is the nature of the living being. He is old, old in the sense eternally existing. But young also in the sense that Najayate mriyate vakada chin nayang bhutva bhavita vana bhuyaha ajo nityang shashvato yang purano nahanyate hanyamane sharire. Young in the sense that we never really die anyway. We're always young, we're always fresh. There's no depletion. In the soul there is no depletion of energy as there is in the material body. So how we can be free from the condition of material life by which we are born and in childhood have great hope of future enjoyment. Even you see the little puppy dogs, they're quite jolly and happy, whereas the old dog who has been beaten and all the skin is falling, what, the hairs are falling off and just trying to survive. Still, if someone throws him half a chapati with whatever little strength he has, he'll rush toward it and wag his tail and think, now I am happy. So, material life is being described here. The enjoyment of material life is being described as that which causes our suffering. In fact, that is also suffering. Generally, we think that if someone is described as young, respectable, good-looking, respected in human society, wealthy, this is considered to be enjoyment. But Krishna points out, yehi sangsparshaja bhoga dukha yone evataya adyantavanta kauntayana teshu ramate buddha, that in the contemplation of it, in the act of it, and in the after effect of it, the so-called enjoyment that comes from indulging one's senses in the objects of the senses is simply suffering. Therefore, an intelligent person does not take part in it. So he may think, well, if you feel happy, then you must be happy. Isn't it? Srila Prabhupada gave the example many times. I just happened to hear it yesterday again. That a pig also thinks himself happy. Here in Vrindavan, we have, it's the, what do they call it, a diorama, the doll exhibition, what do they call that? In Delhi they have this, what's that called? Huh? Pradarshini, that's what it's called in Hindi, what's it called in English? Huh? Exhibition. Anyway, you have in Delhi you can see it in a robotic form. Here in Vrindavan you have the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shravidvara Hostra Karai. Dogs, hogs, camels and asses. You can see the hogs lying in a gutter with all the stooly water, thinking this is, the sun is beating on the top half of the body, but the lower half of the body is lying in the stooly water, and they're thinking, how very, very nice. But the gentleman, in this example I heard Prabhupada say, he sees the hog's life, and he thinks, this is miserable, simply miserable. One of my first experiences in Vrindavan, when I first came in 1976, and maybe you think I'm going to talk about how I saw Radha and Krishna dancing in the forest, but sorry to disappoint you, was on the parikrama path seeing a young boy come out on the veranda of his house on the first floor, pull down his pants and squat, and after that, something emanated from his backside. You can imagine what it is. And there was an eager hog waiting below. He probably knows that it's a regular breakfast time treat. And the stuff was falling on his head. And some was going down and he was eagerly taking it. Hot, fresh, and full of nourishment. So the hog is thinking he's very happy in this situation. But someone who is in a human life, he should know that the hog feels happy, But this is an abominable situation. So similarly, the materialist thinks himself very happy, enjoying this world, but for the spiritualist, he sees this is a terrible situation. We are supposed to be with Krishna, it's serving Krishna in the spiritual world, but we are instead suffering. Oh, it's getting a bit too much for some. Don't worry, there's more to come. More descriptions of hogs, dogs, camels and asses. Someone didn't like it. All right. So, the spiritualist has a completely different outlook to the materialist. Where the materialist sees happiness, he sees suffering. So who is right? If someone feels happy, then you must be happy. Yes, you can say, that is happiness. There is happiness in the material world. When we say there is no happiness in the material world, we can make that more precise, there is happiness in this material world. But we have to understand what is that happiness. Just like if you're in Rajasthan in the desert in the summer, and sometimes the temperature exceeds 60 Celsius. I read one summer, I was here in Vrindavan, and the temperature was every day going above 50. And then I read in the newspaper that some army patrol in Rajasthan, they'd measured more than 60. So at more than 50, it's... Anyway, those of you who stay here during the summer, you know what it's like. More than 60 is unimaginable. What's the word to say? So if someone is in the heat of the desert at midday, and they're croaking, water, 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 gives me water. And then the army patrol drives up and says, we have water for you. Put out your tongue. He puts out his tongue and they bring a dropper with one drop. It's water, but it's far insufficient to satisfy our need. And what's more, if that water also has cyanide in it, then it's still water. But neither can it satisfy us, and actually it destroys us. So there is happiness in the material world. But to the materialist, he's so unfortunate that he cannot understand this. Now to cite the last movie that I saw, because I often watch Bollywood movies. Don't ever go to movies, but if you happen to go on flights between the Gulf and India, then you can't avoid it, because it's all in front of you. You don't have to take the headphones. But anyway, I don't need to tell you the story, because it's the same story at every single one of them. The usual thing, the young girl is smiling, very beautiful young girl, at the very handsome young man, and it's the same story. It's the story of Puranja. It's right here in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the materialist thinks, this is wonderful. How nice. The young woman is smiling, and the young man is smiling back. And someone who's read Srimad Bhagavatam, they see, what a fool this man is. Her smile is as if, she loves me. She's trapping him, that's all, in her smiles. So that she can tie him up. Literally, in the Indian wedding, they tie you up with the woman. And then you have to work all your life as an obedient slave, because of the smile of that woman. which enchants you. This also happens to Puranjan in this story. He gets, you know, he could have been a good brahmachari, but he decided, after having a little association with a beautiful young woman, he decided that grihastha life is best for me. And thus he became trapped in supplying enjoyment for the desires of the beautiful young woman, who gradually turns into a not very beautiful old woman. In fact, just old woman, we can say, because the old body is not attractive. So, if we say this, generally people, they don't want to listen. Because, why do people not want to listen? Because everyone wants pleasure, everyone wants to be happy. That is the nature of the soul, and happiness, that is happiness. What could be better? What could be more laudable? What could be more desirable than seeing a nice young man with a nice young woman smiling at each other? What could be better for the materialist? Well, he could also throw in a few crores of rupees, and that also helps to make life more enjoyable. But the actual fact is that this material world is full of suffering. And the attraction between male and female in this world is the trap by which we have to suffer life after life after life. Pungsastriya mituni bhavametam tayoraho hridaya granthimahu ato griha kshetra sutapta vitaya janasya mohoyam ahammameti. This is the illusory state of material existence in which we are tied into this by the attraction between male and female, which causes us to work for money, home, friends, family, country, my country, all animalism. We don't rise to the human platform as long as we are entrapped within this illusion of thinking that I can be happy in material existence. So this whole Puranjan story, spanning several chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, is just to wake up Maharaj Prachina Barhishad to the fact that a material life is not enjoyable. It is full of suffering. It appears to be enjoyable, but that enjoyment is itself a trap. Several chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam are dedicated just to understand this point, which is it's the entrance to actual spiritual life. Spiritual life begins when we understand that this world is full of suffering. And another way we can say that spiritual life begins with the understanding that we are not the body. That can also be called the beginning. But, that's the real entrance into spiritual life, to understand that we're not the body, we are eternal spirit soul. But most people are not even ready to hear that we are not the body, because they take the body to be the arena for their enjoyment. So it is purposeful to point out to them that everything that we consider to be enjoyable is actually the cause of suffering, and that however much we may want to enjoy in this material world, it is simply the nature of this world that we have to suffer. This may sound pessimistic. Well, in one sense it is. It's not so much pessimistic as realistic. That is the very nature of this world. And beyond the the healthy pessimism of seeing the suffering of this world is the healthy positivism of understanding that we are meant for bliss. We are meant for happiness. But it's not here. It's not in this world. It's not through the mundane senses. Through purified senses engaged in the service of Krishna, we can actually be happy. But as long as we maintain the ambition or the desire to be happy in this world, that much we cannot enter into the spiritual world of service to Krishna. Therefore, understanding the nature of the suffering of this world, generally, the transcendentalists, they renounce this world. We'll find here in Vrindavan, there are many people who have left their homes and come to live, renounce life. It's a great decision to make. But as those who have renounced their homes and families and prospects of enjoying in this material world to come and serve Krishna here in Vrindavan, as those who have done that and who have made this great step, if they are honest, then they can understand that giving up the home and the family to come and live in Vrindavan, that is, no doubt that is a great step, but that's only the first step. That's a relatively easy part. Because to be completely free from all material desire, it's not so easy. Even if with all good intention, one leaves the attachments that one has and comes to Vrindavan, which is the place of pure spiritual attachment, still manovyasanga, the attachments, they remain within the mind. It's easier to wear saffron cloth than to have a pure heart. So, therefore it's good for us to discuss these topics also, even while living in Vrindavan. There's all the time within Vrindavan we'll find there are so many advertisements for kathas, Srimad Bhagavat katha. I doubt if any of them ever discuss the Puranjan story, except maybe in passing. Generally they will discuss about Krishna Leela, which, of course, that's very suitable for Vrindavan. But it may not be so suitable for the persons who come to listen. Because simply by coming to Vrindavan, one does not become a Vrajavasi in the real sense of the term. Actual residence in Vrindavan means to be free of all material desires, to be free of even the thought or the ambition of material happiness. Just like the old, the sense enjoyer who has become worn out, his body has become worn out, he still dreams of how I can, still imagines how I can be happy. And still remembers how I was so-called happy. So those impressions in the mind remain, even though one may be trying to overcome them. So therefore we require to discuss these topics, not only those of Krishna's pastimes, but we also have to discuss about the so-called pastimes of materialistic persons, including ourselves, so that they may actually become past times and not present times, still going on in our mind, because if it goes on in our mind, then it will become future times also. And the sadhu may again, either in this life or in the next life, be in a situation where he's grossly trying to enjoy this material world. So these are very painful topics to hear. If we tell the if we tell materialistic people that this the smiling and fluttering of the eyes of the woman, which to him, as far as he's concerned, that is the pinnacle of everything that is good and desirable in this world. And if we tell him that is simply a trap to make you suffer again, birth and death in this material world, to divert you away from the real purpose of life, they'll become very upset. Generally, they'll become very upset. To hear this, what they consider that to be very pure, practically sacred. But reality is different. So let us hear about Puranjan. The real Puranjan is Krishna. We should hear about him. Puranjan has manifested in this Srimad Bhagavatam. He is Srimad. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna in the form of sound. And he very kindly manifests in this narration given by Narada Muni, which Srila Prabhupada has extensively commented on, just to help us become detached from any prospect of trying to enjoy this material world, so that we can actually focus on Krishna. Any question or comment about this, please. Protests also allowed, if anyone wants to. Yes, please. Is there another mic? What do you have? Do you have another mic for the class? No? All right, then speak and I'll speak it again. Thank you for the wonderful class. That's the first thing. What inspired wonder within you in that class? Any particular topic? About the material desires. We should get away with them. No, we should not try to get away with them. You can't get away. Go away from them. We can't also go away from them. They'll follow us wherever we go. Those who are impelled by material desires worship the demigods, Krishna says. Do they get purified of those desires by worshipping the demigods? And then come to worship Krishna. It is hoped as such. But generally one has to hear Bhagavad Gita. Because kamaisthaista hritagyana. Hritagyana means one's knowledge is polluted or spoiled. It's a synonym for another term used for demigod worshippers, alpamedasa, of small intelligence. So it's not in worshipping demigods is not in and of itself purificatory. Although there are, because it is cultivation of material desire. But it is done in a way in which one is prevented from gross hedonism, grossly sinful life, and in a way that brings one into the Vedic culture. Generally, within demigod worship, that is, the yajnas are also performed, and in the yajna, Vishnu is worshipped. So it's not very purifying to worship Vishnu, considering him as a vehicle for helping us to procure fuel for the fire of our material desires. But during the intermissions in a major yajna, there also the Puranas are recited. And although the Puranas, they generally declare various demigods to be supreme, they also intermittently declare that Vishnu is supreme. But it's not very clear. It's all mixed up. Which is why Narada to Vyasadeva told Vyasadeva that he had made a big mess by doing what he was supposed to do, which is to compile the Vedic literature, by not clearly delineating the position of Krishna. So, simply by worshipping demigods in the Karma Kanda, what happens? Gata gatam, kama kama labhante. One goes up, goes down, up and down, going and coming, according to one's material desires. But if one comes in contact with a devotee of Krishna, who speaks the actual truth, which devotees of Krishna are supposed to do, then he may become purified of material desires. Not by indulging them. Indulging material desires does not extinguish them any more than putting fuel into a fire extinguishes it. It may go down slightly for a short time, but then it blazes up further. Any other question? No. So, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.